Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everyone? It's Matt Valdez to tell you about our friends at SeatGeek.
Drab here as well. We love SeatGeek. We've been using them for numerous events here over the last few months. With over 28 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app.
That's right, Drab. I used them for the George Mason game. Guess where I was sitting?
Front row. Look
right
at you. Big
front
silly.
Front row. I got my tickets through SeatGeek, and I got a great deal with them because I used the green dot system. When you see that big green dot, you know you're getting an amazing deal. Just like the George Mason Patriots. I was going green.
You were so close. You were just a blurry little speck on the photo that I got of you at the game because the person was sitting so far behind you who did not buy their tickets on SeatGeek.
I know. They had bloody nose, and I could smell the sweat of everyone running up and down the court.
With the NBA and NHL seasons in full swing, you don't want to miss out on SeatGeek. Of course, baseball right around the corner. I know Valdez and I are talking about going to an O's game in May. We're very excited about that
as well.
I'm
going to host Drab at Camden Yards, and I'm going to do it with SeatGeek, and we're going to have our tickets in hand through the SeatGeek app instead of going up to the ticketing office or finding them from a scalper. That's what we're going to do. Drab, do you want to sit behind home plate, or do you want to sit next to Utah Street?
I want to sit on Utah Street and catch a home run. from Mount Castle. All right, hey guys, they put all the tickets across the web in one place. Make sure you're getting a good deal. Each ticket is rated on a scale of 1 to 10, so look for the green dots. Green means good, red means bad.
Yeah, look for us at Camden Yards, me feeding Drab some Boog's Barbecue. And like you said, get that SeatGeek app and use that promo code BITSEASON for $20 off your tickets at SeatGeek.
All right, let's start the show.
The scenes behind the glass, there's no sports. It's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just joining on the junkies. Yeah, it's bit season. What a time to be alive! Bit season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, ha 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 ha.
Afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Bit Season, episode 122. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez. Happy Pi Day to all of the biddies out there.
Dude, you are cleaning me out. I'm making dollar bets with Valdez. I made numerous pie bets with him today, and he smoked all of them. So, shocker,
I know a lot about pies.
I didn't know you were such a big dork, to be honest.
What do you mean?
Matt, I've always said you're good at math.
I'm not good at math. I don't know why you keep saying I'm good at math.
I know, but I asked you, I said I would give you a dollar if you could name what was the number after 4.
Oh,
3.14, and then you rattled off like 15 numbers.
3.14159126397 8, something like that. You want to know how I know that?
Nah. This,
you fell into my trap.
I see. I never know what are your traps.
In 6th grade, since I was advanced, I took algebra in 6th grade. And we had the teacher had 3 point, and he had all the numbers that went around the square of the room.
Mm.
All right, and I was
visual.
Yeah, it was just a visual, and that's what nerdy math teachers do. Is they have like a huge like banner that has all the numbers of pi, and then whenever I was bored, I would just read the numbers of pi. Because it was just staring me in the face. So that's how I remember.
Does pi ever end?
No, it's infinite.
I wonder how many numbers they've processed.
This is also geeky. I remember when I was a kid.
Couldn't AI figure that out?
Yeah, ChatGPT, get on that. There was a TV show, okay, that would make I don't know if you remember this. I was a kid, but there was a TV show that would have these contestants on. It was like a reality show. And this was all like in the era of The Weakest Link, and like Fox would just try to find any kind of reality show to throw.
So they did a math geek reality show?
So they did these like competitions. Mm. And so they would give these contestants a challenge to do, and they would have to come back on the show, like after a week, to participate in these challenges. One of the challenges was that this person had to memorize the movie Ghost with Whoopi Goldberg, Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like this person watched it hundreds of times, and they asked him like five trivia questions about the movie Ghost.
Oh.
And they were impossible trivia questions. Like, what was the PIN number that Patrick Swayze had when he took out cash from the ATM?
Mm-hmm.
Just minutia details. And during this game show, they had another contestant where they tried to make this person memorize the first 100 numbers of pi. So basically 3 point and then 100 numbers following. And then like the winner will get like a vacation to the Bahamas and $5,000.
Hey.
And this person, I think, flubbed up after like 50 or so numbers. I don't know what the TV show was called, but I remember it back in the day very vividly.
Do you?
That's the long story about how I memorized.
Can I tell you
after
something?
3.14.
I'm more interested in ghost trivia.
You are.
Have you seen Ghost?
A long time ago.
I've actually seen Ghost hundreds of times myself. I mean, I've cried to that movie.
Have you orgasmed when you're doing pottery?
No, but like, I would sing to my brother that King Henry VIII I Am song. Willie Lopez was the criminal. If I watched that movie, I would pick it up again in half a second.
You recite all the lines.
Of course, yeah.
Who was the lead actress? Was it Demi Moore?
Yeah. Okay. Carl was the brother. He gets the window pane, falls into his get off my train.
You obviously remember it better than I do.
Yeah, a classic. I've probably seen that movie more, top 10 of all the movies I've seen in my lifetime. But I haven't seen it in probably 20 years.
Yeah, but happy pie day.
Happy pie day. Valdez, thanks for holding down the fort last week. You and D-Woods. D-Woods is a great host.
We leaned on you pretty hard. We called you.
Well, I was only on for a few minutes.
That's felt longer than that. But thank you. Did you go back and listen?
Yeah.
Did you air check us?
No, I don't need to air check you guys. You're professionals.
Oh, thank you.
D is a great job. But I didn't really get a full response to my allegation that
I'm milking all the old man stuff.
Yeah, these old man stuff. The I'm peeing at night thing really irritated me.
Yeah, well, I don't know why.
I don't know. I had to keep it under wraps to not let you know that I was irritated by it, so I could spring it on you on Bit Season, but I ended up obviously not participating really. I don't know. It just, you're looking for a connection with Eric.
I was when we talked about kind of like bedroom routines, bedtime routines.
I know,
this
but
week,
I,
but and it just I don't. It's
you're it, an exaggerator.
Old, I'm not an exaggerator.
I heard that you're going around telling people that you got a 5 centimeter tear in your quad when it's a two millimeter.
No,
tear.
It's 5 millimeter. Were I got you, my center and milla.
Okay. Because I know.
It
would be massive.
I know. I goofed up. I confused millimeters and centimeters.
So I have this theory that you go around making up ailments
for
because you like to be a victim or you want the attention dollars.
You think I love victimhood?
I think when it comes to your body, you do. For whatever reason, or that you just want to appease the guys that you're old with them, that you understand and that you don't mock them for being old, because you're going through the same thing.
Number one, I only respond to it when asked. I'm not going around telling everyone about
my... Oh, people asked if you were going pee in the middle of the night numerous times?
No. We're talking about, a old man radio being old. And this is on the heels of a problem that I've been having.
Don't you understand?
I understand what you're saying.
The bit is in quotation marks is we're young and and youthful and spiry and they're waiting to die. They're the old fogies. We're the young guys.
Well,
the up and comers, and you can't be crossing the line over there and dabbing on their side. We're the young, sexy guys. Okay. Yeah. They're the old big fat art dates. Hey, all right. Do you see, understand what I'm doing?
Okay. I get you. We're on the same team. Stop sharing the playbook.
Yeah. You're blurring the lines here a little bit of what our role is. We're next gen junks.
Okay. All right. I understand what all you're right. saying. I didn't understand. Mm. But don't think I'm going around faking stuff to go be on their side or find common ground with them.
I don't know what it is. I do think you're an exaggerator. I've told you that before.
You think I'm an exaggerator?
I told you that I don't think that you have vitiligo. I've said this to you many times before. I think that maybe you did at one point, or you had a speck of a skin blotch or something, but I think your penis is skin color is the same as mine, or the same as the rest of your body.
What?
And you say, you always say, do you want to see it? And I say no, because I don't want to see it.
Yeah, no, because you want the myth to live on. Yeah. Just like the myth at Congressional when they don't say my name.
I choose not to see it.
I mean, I would show you.
No, Duncan, I choose not to run. All right.
But you realize that hurts my credibility when you say that.
Well, I know, but you take that's all we do is ruin each other's credibility. That's what we do on this show.
All right. I will not. And by the way, with all the other ailments, mm-hmm. like you said, I don't bring them up. I bring them up when brought up.
Okay.
I bring them up when brought up.
You've made me aware of that. Now I will pay attention. Okay. If you are volunteering information on your health.
I will.
Hey, what did you... I actually really like the idea that you had today, now that I've... torn you down.
Yeah, I know. Build me back up. Can you please build me back up?
I really like
you. You just called me a liar. Yeah. You called me two-faced, crossing the line with you. All right. Now build me back up.
No. Take us through this idea that you have of having, when we take photos of the guys.
Okay.
And that they're so sloppy and so just worn down from lack of sleep and getting old and just having looking frumpy. That you want to have a stand-in photo.
It's a funny bit.
It's a funny bit. So what would it look like?
Okay. Well. First of all, props to you. Because it's like the guys thought, like Mark Packer coming in was going to catch them off guard. They knew well in advance. Mm-hmm. I guess in emails and in texts, we have to include the fact that there will most likely be a photo.
Yeah. Okay. Look, it's not like Magic Johnson came in studio, right? I understand Mark Packer, he's a media guy, but they knew somebody was coming in studio.
Yeah.
And the routine is generally, no matter who it is, we had two donks in here last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guys who just watched the show from the back of the room, we took pictures with them. We take pictures with everybody pretty much.
Hey, but I want you to know, so I'm going to golf this afternoon.
Yeah.
And it's going to be 80 degrees. Mm-hmm. And I was going to wear flip-flops, basically, in, so I didn't have to change my shoes at the course and all mm-hmm. that. So, but I realized Mark Packer was coming in, and I go, I'm not going to wear flip-flops in the radio station. It will look a little
unprofessional.
Unprofessional.
Yeah.
So I wore shoes today. Because I knew Mark Packer was coming in.
The junks would never think like that.
And it's something little.
JP might, but.
And it's something little, like wearing shoes instead of flip-flops mm-hmm. into work. But I was conscious of it. But in terms of the cutout, these pictures are becoming a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because the guys hate them, and they hate them because.
They're joning.
They think they look bad, but that's not the biggest part of it. The biggest part of it is the, like you said, the joning. It's just people picking apart their appearance.
Well, what I don't understand is if you have a problem the way you look in a photo, you're on television for four straight hours. But the
camera angles are better that way. We're pointing at an angle downwards. It's not a full body shot.
Well, yeah, but you're wearing faded sweatshirts or wrinkly shirts, and that all picks up on TV. It's not like they look amazing.
No, I think they are more self-conscious about how they look, not necessarily mm-hmm. what they're wearing.
Okay.
That's what I
you
think.
You mean posture, skin, hair,
things they can't necessarily control. Things might be looking different at specific angles. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they're most concerned about. Not they don't care if they wear hoodies in these pictures. I think it's just the picture itself and how they look in it all of a sudden creates this cycle of self-loathing, depression. I can't believe I crashed into the wall. By the way, that's been the phrase of the week. I've crashed into the wall.
So I always find it interesting that JP, who cares the most about his looks on the show, I would say, as far as looking professional and proper.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say he's vain, but
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that he is aware of how he looks, right? Yeah, yeah. But he doesn't care about taking a proper photo.
I know, I've said it 10 billion times.
But it doesn't make sense to me. I want things to make sense, as Danny Ruggiero says. That doesn't make sense to me. If one of the four guys was going to say, hey, let's make sure we get a lot of photos and make sure we put the right proper one up, it would be JP. But JP always is, take one photo, fire it up, don't even look at it.
By the way, was that the most JP admission of all time, is that he takes one photo and then he got anxiety from Mars 10 pictures that he took?
He's such a minimalist that he can't. And then Jason, oh my God, they're so difficult to delete. I'm like, what? How old are you?
I have about 2,000 photos on my camera roll that I have no idea what they are.
Who would? Yeah, you just
take them
and forget about them. And every 3 months you start, you're bored and you got a few minutes and you're like, oh my God, I got all bazillion photos in here. I'm going to delete them all.
Well, yeah,
and
or
it
if
it literally
yeah.
takes seconds.
Or if you're looking for a specific picture or something and you're going through these, oh my God, after you find the picture, you clear out a bunch of crap that you don't want or don't need.
Yeah, when you get around to it. But Jason saying that, oh my gosh, you have to delete all these photos. It takes forever. And then yesterday earlier this week, I don't know my Gmail password. It takes forever to change my email. I'm like, oh my God, dude, you're only 53. You're not 90. Like, what is going on? Like, how is tech? And then I worry about myself. Selfishly, I'm like, in 10 years, am I going to be so behind the rest of the world at the pace they're moving?
It was a very weird week in terms of ageism, because you had JP not understanding Find My iPhone feature on your phone. Right. You had Jason not knowing how to reset and store passwords on your Gmail account. Mm-hmm.
But then they'll make fun of someone for having a GPS or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So the JP thing, I still can't even wrap my brain around it. Like, how he can be that out of touch as far as not being aware that there's technology out there that can help you find your phone. And then just like, and then is just searching for a phone in the dark for 2 hours. First of all, I would have given up.
Can you imagine? Yeah. Like you said, it took 2 hours and he was probably retracing his steps. Uh-huh. like a lost child.
I would also think it would be impossible not to know the phone fell out of your pocket if it's in your shorts.
I've had that happen before, so I can kind of see it, but
Cakes, I do like to run with my phone in my shorts banging around a little bit.
I wear a band.
That's what chicks wear.
What's with you attacking me today?
What do you mean?
You just called me a chick.
Well, yeah, I mean, do you want me to rewind the tape of all the zillion shots you take of me in an episode?
I wear a band around my a big fat waist.
Oh, you do a waistband. I was thinking the arm.
No. My arms are too jacked.
They don't make bands that big.
Yeah,
okay.
The 3X armband doesn't fit.
All right.
So I wear it around my belt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like a that you step into, straps around your belt.
No.
Hold your phone.
I like to put it in my baggy basketball shorts. I roll up the waistband a couple times so it stays somewhat tight, and then then you can tell if it falls out.
I want to hear JP's playlist when he runs.
Well, it's Bad Bunny.
It's a combination of Disturbed and Bad Bunny. My guess is I think JP listens to the same playlist every time that he runs. Like, it's literally the same order of songs.
I can't Joan on that, because that's what I like.
You do.
I like to do. I like, because I don't want, I'm such a maniac, and look, I don't run, but everybody gets in these phases where they run, right? Yeah. So like at some point, I'll be like, I'm going to go run for like 3 straight weeks. I'll run.
Yeah, when it starts to get nice out, all of a sudden you'll go for a run,
right? So you get, but to me, the pace is so important, okay, and the rhythm. That you can't have a bad song screw it all up. And then you're stopping and you're fumbling around with it, trying to change to the next song. Yeah. And it just doesn't work. So I'll have my playlist that I know that it's a little, you know, old rock. It's it might even be a couple country songs.
Some Toby Keith.
I like should've it. I love it.
Drive's going, should have been a cowboy.
Los Lonely Boys will be thrown in there. Whatever it is, there just will be certain songs. And then you can't just do a. And the guy and the podcast listeners, you podcast people who listen to podcasts like you're probably doing right now where you exercise, that is the most foreign thing to me on the planet. I can't do it for 60 seconds.
Really?
I gotta have a beat.
That's the only thing. Constant beat. That's the only thing I can do when I run.
Is podcast?
Well, when I run. I listen to a podcast, or what I do is I go to YouTube and I listen to old Opie and Anthony shows. And then this will be.
So you like to chuckle while you work out?
Kind of. You know what? I like to get my brain stimulated and then come up with bits. But also you'll think I'm psychotic. I like running on a track in a circle, just one big circle.
Oh yeah, you like to go to the high school.
Yeah, I like to go to the high school.
I don't hate that.
And I just like to zone out, listen to Opie and Jim and Sam and Anthony Cumia and old Patrice. And
you know why I like that? Because you can easily tell your pace and exactly how far you've gone and how far you have to go.
I'm just like being on a hamster wheel and just doing my thing. And then all of a sudden I look at my Strata or Strava, whatever that app is, and say, oh, I just went 3.6 miles. Let me just go a little bit longer. I'll get to 4 and I'll be done.
Look at you bragging.
What?
If you said, Drab, I need you to run 3 straight miles right now, I don't think I could do that without stopping.
Well, you could do that. It just
that's
just
a 5K.
Pace. Just do slow pace.
Well, slow pace, like a 15-minute mile.
Oh, you could do like a 10-minute mile.
I've run a 10-minute mile now.
You're telling me you couldn't do 3 miles?
I don't know. That seems aggressive to me. But I know that you and Cakes like to brag about you guys can just get out of bed and go do 10-mile jogs.
That's untrue. Have you seen my gut?
No.
I'm just saying. I don't run like that.
I thought you were...
I'm not an elite runner like Cakes.
Cakes, well...
Okay. I get winded licking stamps.
Hey, that caller today that called in made a call to a radio show while he was going on for a run. By the way, I'm not to blame. I was walking Mark Packer out, and Michael Marr screened those calls. I don't want blame for putting a caller through that was going on a run. But if there's a bad call, I always take it out on the people coming up next.
I know. I see that all the time.
I scream at them. I said, don't embarrass me. Get your ass together. No speakerphone, no Bluetooth. Be ready to go. So if I yell at you, it's nothing personal. I'm just going downhill.
Think. Yeah.
All right, Valdez. Well, there's still a lot to get into here. I think one of the most intriguing things of the week was this story about the average person spending a ton of money dining out. And I just seen the headlines, and this should have been in the Junkies Binder today. It would have been a great story
Great 7:45.
You know what? Maybe we'll slide it in there tomorrow after we've already beat it to death here on the show. But take me through it here. I'm very intrigued by how much money we're spending and feeling guilty about it.
Yeah. So there's a poll out that does the average amount of money a person spends dining out for the year, and that total. It's $2,500 that people spend going to a restaurant, fast casual. I don't necessarily think this is fast food. I just think this is like dining out, like going to a dinner with friends
passion
or another
fin.
Couple. Yeah, passion fin. Exactly. Or going to a Chili's or a Glory Days or something like that. And 66% of the people who are dining out, who are spending $2,500 a year, feel guilty about spending that money dining out.
Well, it is a waste of money. Like, absolutely. But you're going to feel guilty about it. But you also, like Eric says, what are you going to do? Die with it. But the problem is that most people don't have money to die with, right? We're just living paycheck to paycheck, and you could be doing so much better. But there is no bigger waste.
Here, the problem is that people want to feel social. And I think the easy way to do that is to grab dinner with friends. That's why people are racking up $2,500 a year in expenses of just dining out.
It says,
and then all of a sudden, you know, then people have FOMO. Like if you get invited to go out to dinner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's with a bunch of friends, and you end up not going. Don't you think you feel like you missed out on the night out where everyone's hanging out, on the monthly get together?
Of course.
If your wife has a girls get together, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like a monthly brunch that they do, they feel like they'd miss out.
Now, honestly, I used to do a lot more of this. Now I don't get as much opportunity to go out and hang out with the boys or eat at restaurants. So $2,500 a year eating out for me myself seems like that would be too much.
Mm-hmm.
But Lurch probably, I don't know, 10 grand a year. How much do you think Lurch spends eating out?
I mean, he eats out twice a week, doesn't he?
Yeah. So, I mean, he's going to nice restaurants.
Yeah. So that's
unless
about
he's getting hooked, though. He does get hooked at a lot of these.
I know. Say Jason's spending $100 a week. Is that, say, are you safe to say that's probably lowballing it?
I think Jason probably spends 8 grand a year eating out for just, I'm talking about like himself.
Hey, can I tell you, I have a buddy that, mm-hmm. that we know.
That means me.
No, it's not me.
Okay.
It is tax season, and he was talking to me about his big tax return, where he basically loans the government money and then he uses it as his yearly savings.
Yep.
All right, which any financial advisor would not recommend doing is mm-hmm. giving the government a free loan.
Right.
And he was telling me he was auditing like his spending for the months, just, you know, it's tax season, so he's just going mm-hmm. through everything. He told me between groceries and eating out in a month, he spent $3,500.
That's wow.
That is a massive amount of money to spend at a Harris Teeter and at a Matchbox.
Yeah. I mean, if you got it, flaunt it. But that just, you, there's no bigger, I don't care how rich you are. There's no, everyone, nobody likes to waste money.
No.
There's literally no bigger waste of money, in my opinion, than those donks who go out and eat lunch every day.
Oh, it's from work, and you're spending $25 on a
$25
like going out sandwich.
And believe me, we'll leave here in an hour,
and we'll see a million donks.
A million donks out there.
Do you know what this makes me think about? Or what this story makes me think about is whatever happened to the dinner party?
I'd love to. I think can we bring it back?
It's an old school thing.
Are you talking guys like the Rat Pack? Look, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about like a dinner party. So instead of, you know, like how, because when people go out to eat.
We're going to hear about the Gatsby's here.
No. You think I have like an infatuation with the 30s. I don't.
All right. No. Sell me on this. I'm intrigued by the dinner party.
All right. But in order for like couples to be social, for people mm-hmm. to be social, it's everyone, let's go out and grab drinks, or let's go out and grab dinner together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we haven't seen each other. Let's go grab dinner and catch up. Mm-hmm. That's what old people do, like us.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, going out doesn't mean bar hopping like Mar. It's let's grab something to eat. Our lives, our
is
social
this
lives.
Is exclusive to couples?
It's not necessarily exclusive to couples. Uh-huh. I mean, it's like, you know, let's catch up and grab dinner. That's what people our age do.
No. I don't care about two people. I'm intrigued by the party. Okay. You're selling me on this. I like this idea.
I know. It's not just two people.
Friends.
Friends go like.
It could be, you could come solo. You could come, you know, couples. No, kids.
Like, but like we'll do this after golf sometimes is we'll go, not like the dinner party, but mm-hmm. like you go out and you go grab dinner and rest in town. You know what I mean? If golf runs late.
Mm-hmm.
But the dinner party. This was a hot thing where one person would host, All right. And then.
Oh, at a house.
Yeah, at a house.
Oh, okay. Now I'm even more intrigued.
Yes.
My parents did this all the time.
Yeah. Your parents would host other couples, other people in the neighborhood. They don't have to be couples.
Yeah.
Or they don't have to bring a date, but they can bring a date. And you come over and you make dinner and you talk about what's going on. And that's your social event instead of going out and spending hundreds of dollars a night for apps, entrees, wine, stuff like that. It's everything is at the, is centrally located at the house. That's where you're doing all your socializing.
Can I tell you, I've been thinking a lot about this recently. I thought you were talking about restaurants.
No.
This is actually my dream. I've been daydreaming a lot about this because I've been thinking about my kids are now three. They're getting a little bit older. So this is a little bit different. You're talking about adult dinner parties, and my parents did that too. But where on Sundays, they would it was like a rotation. Now, it wasn't every Sunday, but definitely once a month, where at least three to four families would come over to our house, or we would go to other people's house. My dad always made his famous pizza. All right?
His famous... What's so famous about it again?
Famous in our house. Okay.
It's famous. They fed you dinner.
No, I've told you about the Belsitos before. He got it from Belsito's Italian restaurant that went out of business. And so when he went out of business, he gave my dad the recipe because my dad helped him with a bunch of projects. And he said, don't ever share it. So he had this unbelievable pizza.
Okay. Right?
Tony Belsito, great pizza maker, bad businessman. We made this great pizza, and then people would always come over, and we would have parties at our house. The kids are always out back playing wiffle ball. Yeah. The parents are inside, out, socializing. So I've been thinking, like, this is what I need, because I don't get a lot of socialization with adults outside of work.
Yes.
My wife.
Because you can't take your kids to a restaurant during, but you can invite.
It's not fun.
You can invite people over to the house. That way you can keep an eye on them. Plus you have other eyes in terms of everyone who's there at your dinner party in case you need a hand.
But here's the problem. I don't have friends. I don't have my, I have a few friends, right? Yeah. But they're not friends with my wife necessarily. Like if I go out, say my buddy Trey texts me and he goes, hey, you want to watch the game at Five Guys? Like that would be me going out. Not Five Guys.
Glory Day.
Sorry. That would be me going out. But I'm yearning, Valdez. I'm yearning for like couple and family get-togethers. Where the kids are running around and the adults are inside drinking beers. But I don't want to be,
don't call it a play date.
No, this it's
is
not
all,
a play date.
It's all, this is socializing. This is socializing for the adults too.
But this is also at the same time, what I dread is forced conversations with other dads that I don't know. Like, so I want family friends.
All right. This is what we need to create.
Is there anything worse than talking to guys you don't know?
It's hard, especially in our profession, because they think we want to talk sports.
They think we want to talk sports, but at the same time, I'm desperately trying to find common ground. So we always talk sports.
Yeah. This is the secondary thing that we need to come up with. All right. We'll shelve dinner parties. Dinner parties on the back burner. That's down the road. What we need to do is we need to create a male companion app. All right. Like a friends app, not one of the dating apps, but one for guys where you can link up with other guys.
Isn't that called Friendster?
See if you have the same common interests. Mm-hmm. All right. And then all of a sudden you get to meet up for your man dates. And then all of a sudden you have your friends that you can invite over. Now they might be also homicidal murderers or pedophiles. You got to weed those out. Do you like that idea?
I think you're on to something.
I'm not.
I mean, maybe Rohit will build an app for you. But good luck with that.
That's a very inside joke.
Yeah, man. Let's bring back
the dinner.
But also, maybe people are still doing that. Like, maybe they're doing that all the time.
Yeah, we haven't been invited to.
We're just not invited. Like, JP does that all the time. He's always at people's house for Sunday dinners.
And it doesn't have to. Yeah, like a Sunday dinner. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have to be a Sunday dinner. But you know what I mean? Like, on a Friday night. Also, we are available for hire as
I'm big on the Sunday sauce.
We are available to hire to entertain your.
The dinner parties?
No. What about this? What about game nights? Game nights are huge. Why can't you do a game night?
I would also do a game night. Get me over there. You get the babysitter. Come on over.
You know what? We need adults our age to invite us over for game nights and dinner parties.
Right.
Set, please.
But I can't go by myself. You have to know. I have to bring my wife. No, I have to bring my wife.
Okay.
Was that okay with you?
Yeah, yeah.
I can't say, babe, I'm going to game night with Valdez over at Ronnie's house. Like, we're going to play Scattergory and Pictionary.
Yeah, pin the tail on the donkey.
Yeah. And then we're going to all have sex with each other.
We're going to have charades and
Yeah, there was.
All right, two words. First word, but. Second word,
six. All right.
Sorry about that. So are you in? Are you in? If you have someone, all right, I'm dead serious. Say, this guy goes, hey, you know, Valdez, Drab, bring whoever you want. Mm-hmm. We always host a game night the first weekend of the month. And Aldi.
Oh, a scheduled. Even better.
A scheduled game night.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's like the Case Classic. Yeah. The first Wednesday of every month, we do a game night.
100% in.
Let us know if you'll be there because we got to know how much pizza to order.
And what do you bring to a game night?
A game night?
Yeah. Like,
that's a good question. Maybe.
Do you show up empty handed?
No. You got to bring like. A six pack of beer.
Can I tell you something?
Wine.
I felt so stupid. And it's a stupid ritual we do. There's got to be something better. So I actually did this, and maybe this is why I've been yearning for it. I went over to my buddy Dallas's house the other weekend. Dallas calls into the Junkies every once in a while. Yeah. He has stupid takes, but he's also the guy, security guard. He worked security at Target, and he busted a police officer stealing, and he got fired, and it was like a huge thing in the Washington Post, and I think he got a bunch of money. So I went over to Dallas's house, right? And they have a bunch of kids. So it was this thing that I've been talking about.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what to bring, so I'm like, let's just bring over wine. All right, because we had some extra bottles of wine, some nice bottles.
the Greg Norman bottle that we got like 5 years ago.
It was actually my wife, because my wife gets them for like teacher week and stuff.
Okay.
So she had a nice bottle. But then I bring it over and I hand it to the wife. She goes, thank you. Turns around and puts it on the counter with 14 other bottles of wine that were sitting on the counter that the 13 couples before us had all brought.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Everyone just brings a bottle of wine. It's going to sit in her cabinet for months or for years or whatever it is until it's a pass the bottle around, right? She's always going to take them to the next party they go to.
Yeah.
I want something meaningful. Right,
this is what you do.
What?
You need to bring something unique.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Besides,
bring big tin of Virginia peanuts.
Why can't bring a tin of peanuts?
Yes, unopened tin of peanuts. Because you think about it, you're sitting around, you need some munchies and everything. Everyone's going to grab Virginia peanuts.
But there's always a lot of food there, right? Isn't there always food.
You need snack foods. Or, you know what you do is you stop off, you get a cake for dessert. Or pie, since it is pie day. You get a cake for dessert.
Okay.
You stop at your Harris Teeter, go to the bakery section, go get a cake. Or stop at the flower section and bring a flowers for the wife.
You really got me with the peanuts. I'm stuck on peanuts. Now you're kind of intriguing me. Because I'm thinking about...
Hey, you know what you should do? You should bring... This would be a great gift. You walk in for game night. You have one of those big, huge tins of the Virginia's peanuts.
I know.
And then you bring in a salami.
Salami's good.
Like a summer sausage. A big, big old pepperoni.
No. The blue tin of cookies. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
The grandma cookies.
The Danish buttermilk cookies.
Yes. That is what I'm going to start bringing.
The pretzels that are covered in sugar, the pretzel-shaped cookies.
Things not delicious?
They're so good.
And you never get a chance to have. You know what? That's what I'm bringing. The blue tin of cookies. Right. Why didn't I think of that 2 weeks
all right,
ago?
This is what you're going to do. You're going to invite us over to your game night or to your dinner party. Drab's going to have a tin of cookies under his arm. And
who would be upset if I brought that? Nobody,
no one.
Right?
And I'm going to have a stick of pepperoni and a stick of salami.
Okay.
That we're going to shove up each other.
All right. What's your favorite board game?
That's a great question.
I do like going to Target and then looking at all the new games that are coming, all the new board games, and not understanding any of them. But then they'll have like 4.9 out of 5, and it'll have 7,000 reviews, and people say this game's amazing, but I never end up getting them.
This is gonna be very morbid and depressing.
Ugh.
My favorite board game is Life. Because I like to create a life that I didn't have.
Yeah.
I like to be the lawyer. I like to be the lawyer with 10 kids.
Can I say that this isn't
what?
It makes sense.
This isn't
this is more of like a kid's game. Definitely, because I probably haven't played it in 30 years. But I have fond memories of Sorry.
I love Sorry.
I love Sorry. Do adults? Are there adults playing Sorry out there?
I don't. Is that the one with the bubble in the middle, and you got to hit the bubble and the dice roll? And
yeah.
What do you think about?
I liked all the colors and then the little thimble moved around, little plastic thing.
But those are
Trouble.
That's
was the
Trouble.
Game.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Sorry. Sorry. Get it. I don't know if you play those on game nights. I think game night usually consists of trivia.
Shouting.
What?
You need shouting.
I think it's like Scattergories. Mm-hmm. It's Trivial Pursuit. I think that
is so lame. I played that with my in-laws recently, and we played the old school version.
I think that's what you play.
God, what is that game? You draw something.
Scrabble. I think a lot of adults play Scrabble. You're thinking of Pictionary.
No, not Pictionary. Pictionary, Telestrations. Telestrations is the game. If you haven't played that is a must. If you're going to invite me, I want to play Telestrations at least one of the times. Pictionary, classic. But who has that paper anymore? Nobody has that paper.
You got to go to a craft store.
When was the last time you saw anyone fold over a big piece of paper like that?
I don't know. Bob, what's his name with the hair? Who's the painter?
We need one of those in here for bit season, for coming up with ideas, don't we?
Yeah, a big board.
A big board, yeah.
What else? What else do people play? Did I ever tell you that my mother claims that she invented Scattergories?
No, come on. No, you never told me that.
Well, she claims that because she claims when she was a kid, mm-hmm. They would play a similar game with letters and categories, and she called it Categories with her and her five
categories.
Brothers. Yes.
Famous Big O and Duke's kid that I think we ripped off from the Junkies.
But she always claims she got Scattergories.
Really? Did she have a big mouth and tell people about it?
Maybe.
And also, Scattergories has been around for 100 years, though.
Do you know a very underrated game night game that you could play? If you had this game,
mm-hmm.
I'd be there in a heartbeat.
All right.
Bop It.
Bop It's more of like recess game.
I know, but sometimes I got a small brain. Give me a break. Bop It. If you have a Bop It, twist it, flick it.
Was there a flick?
I don't know.
No.
Or spin it. Bop It, twist it, pull it.
Yeah, pull it.
Yeah, Bop It, twist it, pull it.
I think there was a video going around because that was like the impossible. You couldn't beat it, but like
I know,
somebody beat
it. It just got faster and faster.
Yeah.
That was fun. Those are fun games.
All right, let's take a quick break here, Valdez. Yeah. Before we go, I want to remind people that we are both enjoying our Don't Sleep energy drink. Thanks to Mike for bringing.
Dude, we have
so much. So we have so many boxes of Don't Sleep here.
It should last us a while. Thank you to Mike, and thank you to Don't Sleep energy drink, because this episode is brought to you by Don't Sleep energy drink. Don't Sleep supports us. Like we said, get some today at don'tsleepenergy.com and use that promo code BITSEASON. Two words, bit season, for 10% off every order. Follow and like on all social media at Don't Sleep Energy.
Yeah, Valdez, I'm on the website right now, don'tsleepenergy.com. Get yourself a 12-pack of sugar-free. They have the regular. And, of course, it's a very popular energy shot, which the junkies are always asking about. They always want more. So now we got a big stockpile. Guys, go to don'tsleepenergy.com. You get 10% off using the Bit Season code, don'tsleepenergy.com. Thanks, Mike. We love the partnership with you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Drabby, what did you want to touch on when we get back here?
I'm really intrigued by this story about the Titanic recreation.
Titanic Part 2. I love
it. Going on a cruise. All right, so sell me on that when we come back.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Bit Season episode 122. Drab, it's time to set sail.
You know I'm a big fan of the Titanic history. Yeah. You certainly have my attention here.
I know, Drab, you are a Titanic buff. Maybe because of Leonardo DiCaprio.
That is exactly why, and you know this.
But there is a story that came out. Australian billionaire Clive, I'm trying to find his last name here.
Owen.
Not him. Clive, I forget his last name. Not important. But there is a Australian billionaire who is investing his money into the recreation of the Titanic ship, the classic Titanic ship, where he is building it and also recreating or redoing the voyage from, I guess it is from England to the United States, to New York. This was a passion project of his that was started around 2018, and it looks like it got delayed because of COVID. And finally, he's able to get this project off the ground, and he's announced at the Sydney Opera House yesterday that he is moving forward with it, and that there will be a Titanic 2.0 for voyagers to aboard.
Now, is it going to be the same? Everything is going to be exactly the same?
So it looks like the dimensions are going to be the same. If you're asking about the class system, like will your room be in the boiler room?
Yeah,
I don't think that is what's going to happen.
I think we need that.
I know that's the problem. I feel like this would have more legs and would get a better better coverage and would be more of a story if the Titanic 2.0 was identical to the first one, minus the iceberg.
Would you first off, did you know something? Want to know something interesting about the Titanic?
Of course I do.
Did you know that it was never billed as unsinkable?
Explain that to me.
People always say that the Titanic was called unsinkable, right? The owners of the ship and Captain Smith, they never, ever, not one of them, ever said the Titanic was unsinkable.
It was a media?
Someone, like a journalist, wrote a headline and called it unsinkable.
The unsinkable ship.
And then people started thinking that it was unsinkable because of that donk reporter. But the people who built it never said it was unsinkable. It just got word of mouth got carried away a little bit. And in fact, I don't even know if people really thought it was that unsinkable before they even went on it. Like it may have just been a grand ocean liner.
Right. You know how Carnival makes these cruise lines that are even bigger and bigger and bigger. It was the biggest of the time.
Now, can you tell me where Titanic set sail from?
Liverpool.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I just guessed a port in England.
No, I'm pretty sure it was built in Belfast and then was loaded up with passengers and set sail from Southampton. And you know where it was going?
New York.
Okay. At least you know that.
I'm not that. Hey, you said you weren't a Titanic buff.
A little bit.
All right, but wouldn't you agree you would be more inclined?
I would go on this, but of course I would have to be down with the rats. because I'm not gonna fit. I don't have the money to. I'm not an influencer. I'm not a God. Could you imagine the idiots that would be on that Titanic these days?
That's the first thing I thought about was all of the TikTokers that want to go board Titanic 2.0.
Yeah.
That are waiting in line to go to the bow or to the
front
of the ship and do the King of the World bit. Just for the likes, or go down to the carport and go put a handprint on a window.
It seems like it would just be a giant waste of money to rebuild this thing. And because
this is what the ship would be for. And I don't know if there's enough people that would be into this, but I would be into this. It's the cosplay of it.
I'm into cosplay. All right.
All right. Let me sell you on it. Mm-hmm. You are an importer exporter and you have a pocket watch.
Oh, it's like you're a character.
I'm trying to. Yeah. That's like a murder mystery dinner. Yeah. That's what I feel like the selling point would be. Not necessarily just a Titanic 2.0 where it's the same dimensions. But if you are taking a trip back in time they would say on the movie, if you're doing a trip, a blast from the past, a look back in time, I would be all in for that.
Do you find out at the end whether you survived or died?
So, hold on.
You know, because you're supposed to, like, find out about your character. By the way, I don't know if I should even tell you this, but my family went on a murder mystery thing recently. It was my brother's Christmas present, and I think it was, like, I don't know, Al Capone theme, or maybe it was Gatsby thing. It may have been. All right, I'm gonna show you.
I'm really into that. I would love a murder mystery.
It was a dinner show, and right, okay. You're supposed to mingle around with everybody and mm-hmm. ask questions and try to like solve the mystery.
Yeah.
And my mom, I think she probably, I don't know, maybe had a few pre-gamed a little bit or something,
a couple Aperol spritzes.
Yeah. Look at it. Look at this. My dog family. They're all in costumes they bought on Amazon.
Bro.
This is
bro.
I'm actually.
Your mother.
I'm getting douche chills a little bit showing you this.
All right. Is that one your mom? By the way, that's a Gatsby. It is a Gatsby party.
A mom.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. That's what I thought your mom. Oh my God. Your mom has legs for days.
My mom's like 5'2".
Why is your mother spread eagle in that picture?
She's not. She's just got her leg over the railing. I don't know what she's doing. My mom was so overwhelmed by the rules of the dinner party.
Okay.
And people coming up and asking her questions, and she started sobbing at the dinner.
Okay.
And my brother said it was like the most embarrassing thing that he's ever seen in his life, because they brought their, you know, everyone's having a good time, and my mom was buzzed. Yeah. and overwhelmed and crying at this murder mystery dinner party with like 100 people.
She's not a good actress.
Terrible actress. Terrible act. She couldn't like good in character or something. I don't really know.
What was her character? Everyone
is someone on in like the mansion, and someone dies.
It looks like she's dressed as the town floozy.
She might have been. I don't know. I asked them where they all said they got their costumes from Amazon.
But if Titanic, if this was like some sort of cosplay cruise,
mm-hmm.
where it was like a four day, five day cruise. Mm-hmm. On the old Titanic, same dimensions, same, I guess, quarters where you have like the upper steerage all the way down. Wouldn't you be more into it if all of a sudden you're reliving the 1920s?
No, could you be like the coal shoveler? You know, like working down in the, can you be working?
No, you're just the passenger.
Yeah, dude, I would be all about that. But here's the thing. You don't find out until you get your boarding the Titanic of what class you're in.
I would, yeah.
You might be first class.
It's a lottery.
You get a tuxedo, or you might be down there with your wife beater and your cotton shirt.
Yeah, you're doing a jig on the bar table. Yeah.
Dude, I'm all about it.
Drab loves costume play, and I think
so do you.
I know.
I know. I would see that. I've been ingrained with Big O and Dukes with all those years of us. See, Junkies used to always Joan, but we would do have all these live broadcasts, and we'd be wearing these costumes all the time. So I always got a kick out of it.
Drab, you should have been an actor.
I've been known to show off my skills before. I'm a bit of a thespian.
Yeah, you are. Well, I would definitely be into it. Hey, speaking of England, mm-hmm. were you surprised that the Kate Middleton story ended up on the Junkies Entertainment page?
Well, you and I were like force feeding it in there. I'm always intrigued by them a little bit. I'm always intrigued by the tradition of it.
The pomp and circumstance of it all?
I mean, look, I don't think that, like the rumors and speculation, I always get a kick out of
it. Yes.
And I always like to kind of like be involved in the gossip a little bit.
We're not into royalty. We're into the mystery that's behind all of it. I'm glad that Eric's into it too.
Yeah. And, the cake's disrespected, but always ricks me a little bit.
Jason.
And then I've said this before. JP always goes, which one is she? every single time he will say, which one is she?
No. Which one looks like TK?
Yeah.
Every time the royal family's brought up, that's the line that's always brought up, is which one looks like CK?
I'm also intrigued by the fact that Prince William, I mean, these guys get divorced all the time. But I honestly really thought they were a good couple. All right. Kate and William.
Uh-huh.
I'm intrigued by him blowing it all up, ruining everything by having an affair with an uglier version of Kate Middleton. Like, she kind of looks like the Rose chick. She kind of looks like Kate a little bit if Kate like fell off the horse and got run over by the carriage.
Oh my God.
This girl, the mistress is not as attractive. Not to say that that's what's happening.
I was going
to
say, so you think that's why she's gone away?
And I'm intrigued by all the gossip of the theories out there of what happened to her. The facelift, wasn't it? Did she have?
What about the one that she's dead?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, she's been photographed.
I know, but a lot of people think that photographs
it's a replacement.
Yeah, it's a replacement.
I don't think they would fake the death of a princess.
What about donating her kidney? I think
that's possible. And then if that's true, then that really was none of our business, right?
Do you feel bad being so curious? You know what I mean? Like, they're obviously something's going on in the royal family.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel bad for wanting answers, or do you feel like we're owed answers?
It's like a sports team, right?
That's a great point.
It's like they're used to it. It's our job to speculate, gets ratings.
I would agree with the fact that. As a, like the royal family is like owed this,
mm-hmm.
This tax, like people are taxed in order to pay for the
mm-hmm.
lifestyle of the royal family. If that's the case, then yes, I feel like you're entitled to know what's going on. But if it weren't the case, then I'd say kind of see what happens.
Lies
we're told.
I don't know what is so intriguing about the royal family because I couldn't tell you another royal on the entire planet.
Yes, you don't know any of the dukes or duchesses or anything.
No, I'm talking other countries. Oh. I don't know what specifically about England, maybe just because of our relationship with England.
It's our country's relationship.
But I'm pretty sure that they care, like in Germany, they're aware of them and they probably follow them just pretty closely to how we follow them.
Like, why are they the prominent royal family of the world when there's other countries who have a king and queen?
Like, I know there's
have
like,
a monarchy.
Like, there's a queen of or a princess of in Denmark.
Yeah,
I couldn't tell you her name. Maybe the Saudi Arabian princes. If I think about it, I might be able to pull one of their names. But that's about it.
It's a great point.
I don't know.
I don't know why Great Britain's is the number one seed.
Does Canada have some sort of royalty?
Don't they have a president?
No, like not a functioning one.
Oh. Like one for show, England's? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
That was probably a stupid question.
Now we're doing Junkies Radio
where we ask questions. Monarchy of Canada. Yeah.
I didn't know you were so well-versed on world politics.
Believe me, I'm not. The royal family of Canada. Canada has been a monarchy for centuries. Yeah, but they came from France.
I know, but I've always heard
I thought you were a geography buff.
I'm not a geography. That's politics.
Okay. All right, guys. We'll catch you next week. Hopefully, look, it was free agency week. A lot of Bobby Wagner talk.
Yeah.
A lot of talk of, you know, quarterbacks still and Dan Quinn's building a roster. So, look, not as much skits and bits this week.
We've been planning something behind the scenes next month. Hopefully, we can kind of.
That's not happening. Don't tease people with that. Oh, the other one.
Yeah.
That one, but yeah. Hopefully we come up with some sort of
I know that one we
bit
can't
for
do.
A sporting event next month.
Yeah.
Yeah. But a year from now we hope to have a really good one, but we just didn't have enough time to put it together. All right, guys, have a great weekend. As Cake said on Thursday of this week at the end of the show today with Bump on it. And we'll see you soon on the Junkies. Take
see
care.
See you guys.
Later.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.